This is a podcast of the City of Fairbanks City Council meeting. Stand by for the call to order, or else we'll be joining the meeting already in progress.
Good evening, and welcome to the regular City Council meeting. This February 26, 2024. Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Ms. Rogers?
Here.
Mr. Cleaworth?
Here.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Here.
Mr. Ringstad?
Here.
Mr. Marnie?
I'm here.
Ms. Tidwell?
Here.
Mayor Prues.
Here. Would you please rise for the invocation of the Pledge of Allegiance?
As we meet to discuss the affairs of our town, may we seek to lay all of our differences down, to serve and represent the community fairly in ways that will not be just temporarily. May resources be used with wisdom and care, with humble consideration of the duties we bear. As decisions are made, may we each do our part. Let our actions be guided by respect and with heart.
Ms. Sprinkle, will you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Chase, that was a very fine limerick. Okay. Mr. Clerk.
Do we have any ceremonial matters?
No, we do not.
We're at citizens' comments.
We have no one signed up. Is there anyone signed up online, sir? Seeing none, Mr. Vandenberg, would you come up and please give public testimony?
My name's David Vandenberg, and I'm here tonight as Executive Director of the Downtown Association, and I reside at 332 Slater Drive. And come here tonight because of the Alaska Motel, the Alaska Motor Inn. I don't want to go to the wrong place, but I think we're talking the one that burned. And the Downtown Association, I think, would have a simple message, and that there's a downtown plan coming out. And it's going to, one of the goals is to address properties like that. And you know, our concern as an economic area is that it's allowed to continue in that condition for some time. And because it's a Polaris in the making, in a way, just of a smaller scale, I went back and looked at had some documents about the Polaris Hotel and the process that led up to that, becoming a city obligation or a liability. And one of the things that was just pivotal, of course, was the correspondence from the city to the owner of the Polaris, because unlike we've talked in the past about properties that are uninhabited and maybe disconnected from sewer and water, well, this is an inhabited structure, and it's owned by somebody who's may want to do something with it, but the communication from the building official, and I think it was Shuttleworth it was Clem Cluton, was just laid out starkly what the city expected of the owner to come forward with a development plan or to abate the structure. And again, we just come at this like it'd be a shame to let that building sit for an unnecessarily long period of time. And we do have a downtown plan coming out. We don't need to open it up chapter and verse, but there's a goal in there about dealing with properties like that. So, I think it's I'm probably just stating the obvious, but wanted to let you know that we're watching it and we're concerned. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Vandenberg? So again, thank you, sir. Clerk.
We are at the approval of agenda and consent agenda.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda? From Mr. Ringstad, is there a second? From Mr. Marnie. Does any council member wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? Mr. Marnie.
Well, for discussion reasons.
Of course. Is there anything else? Seeing none, Is there any objection to approving the agenda as amended? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted. Clerk.
Consent agenda items are indicated by asterisks. Consent agenda items are considered together unless a council member requests that the item be returned to the general agenda. Ordinances on the approved consent agenda are automatically advanced to the next regular meeting for second reading and public hearing. All other items on the approved consent agenda are passed as final. Consent agenda approved the resolution number 5102, a resolution approving a maintenance agreement with the State of Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitor Center enhancements, introduced by Mayor Prus. And it accepted the Clay Street Cemetery Commission meeting minutes of January 3rd, 2024, and it accepted the Discretionary Fund Committee meeting minutes of January 9th, 2024. And we are at Mayor's comments.
Okay. I see that one of our good members is here, who comes and asks me always about the lights on the old Stees. And sometimes I have to report items that just aren't going to be good. And in my barking, where are the parts, we found out that there were no parts ordered. We found out that due to the perceived road widening down there, that was knocked out by a little EPA issue with our transportation funds, that they thought that they would be widening that road, so they decided not to order any parts. That immediately changed. So thank you for your persistence. Found the problem, found the issue. The lighting parts are ordered. I went down to Juneau with Alaska Municipal League and met with the different legislators down there on a few issues. One of them is with the police getting the state of Alaska to recognize that we have an issue of retention, and that one of the ways to take care of it is one of our priorities, which is to allow retired police officers to come back to work full-time and still keep their pensions coming in, but start a new pension. And the governor's office is working on that, and we will also have Representative Tomaszewski work on that for us. And we have Deputy Chief Sweet down there right now, and he'll be meeting with Representative Tomaszewski tomorrow. So we are advancing that. And that is my report. Mr. Clerk.
We are at council member comments.
Ms. Tidwell.
This last week, I did attend a board meeting for FEDC. The things that came up on that were we're not going to have as many formal meetings. We're going to switch to like an e-board platform where, and then we'll meet quarterly for an official business meeting, and they will meet more often. Which I was agreeable to that. They can really dive in and do some stuff deeper than when we're all there. I thought it was a good idea. A couple of things came up on the calendar that I wanted to share. Coming up in March, Cold Climate Research Housing, they are having an open house. They're having a whole week of festivities from March 18th to the 22nd. Their open house is going to be on the 18th, which for anyone here or listening that hasn't been in that building, what a neat organization, and I would invite anyone to go down there and check it out. And then the TCC annual convention is also coming up in March, and that's going to be the 6th to the 14th. And that's all that I have.
Thank you. Mr. Marnie.
Well, the only comment I have, I want to thank David for bringing the fact that Alaska Motor Inn is an eyesore. And I know you're working on it, Mayor. I just think that it would be nice if we had that cleaned up before summer.
They have been into the building department. So we're processing things, you might say. We'll see what happens. Mr. Ringstead.
I'm good.
Ms. Sprinkle?
I'll wait for a second.
Ms. Rogers? Mr. Cleworth?
I have a bunch. I'll wait for the second round, too.
Okay. Clerk?
We are at unfinished business ordinance number 6273, an ordinance authorizing the City of Fairbanks to apply for funds from the United States Department of Transportation for the Rebuilding American Infrastructure with Sustainability and Equity Discretionary Grant Program for Island Home Subdivision Reconstruction and amending the 2024 capital budget, introduced by Mayor Prews, second reading and public hearing.
Okay, second reading. We've been through a work session on this. We've been through it fairly thoroughly. Any questions for myself or the city engineer?
We have a motion to
advance. Motion to advance.
To adopt. To adopt.
Mm-hmm. From Ms. Sprinkle and second by Ms. Tidwell. Any discussion? Ms. Sprinkle?
Do you want public hearing?
I don't know when this stuff happens. When do we find out if you get money?
Well,
start next
year. We've applied for it twice. I don't think we're going to get it.
Again,
we're keeping this in place. We're going after it in a different way. And as we put together the thoughts on that, I'll bring it to you. We have a failing sewer system in Island Homes. So this is now a much higher priority. With the two raised grants that we've done, when I was down in Washington, D.C., they literally said that $20 million, that takes a lot. You're competing against a lot. And usually on something like that takes 7 applications. So I have some thoughts, and I'm going to be working with Bob this week and next to put together those ideas and present to you a different plan on it. Or direction. So it is went from a priority to a very high priority. Houses and families and Island Homes are having to bring in companies 3 times a month to thaw and clear out their sewer lines. It's a failing system. It was last constructed, we believe, in 1964. Wood stave. So I'm looking at that, and what we're looking at is, okay, roads, water, sewer, sidewalk. But what about the staves going to the individual homes? It has to be done all at the same time. That's going to cost every individual homeowner between $7,000 and at times $35,000. If you do it piecemeal when they want to do it, then you're going to have your new roads and your new sidewalks torn up. So I've been realizing this. So we have to come up with a program that should be successful. And putting it together. Give me some time. Ms. Rogers. Oh, excuse me. We're done with that, so... Mr. Cleworth.
Just technically, we didn't have a public hearing, did we? A public hearing?
On
this?
Eventually, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That should happen.
This is right now.
Oh, yeah.
Before we...
Is there any public comments on this? I'm sorry. I just got done with a 3-week cold, so I'm trying to get back into it. I apologize. Is there anyone here in this audience who wants to give public testimony? Seeing none. Public testimony is closed.
I thought David might, since he lives in Island Homes, but he didn't do it.
He was listening with rapt attention.
Yeah.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, clerk, would you please call the roll?
On the motion to adopt ordinance 6273, Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstad?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Ms. Rogers?
Yes.
Ordinance 6273 passes by a vote of 6-0. Clerk.
Here at ordinance number 6274, an ordinance authorizing the City of Fairbanks to apply for funds from the United States Department of Transportation, the Rebuilding America Infrastructure with Sustainability and Equity Discretionary Grant Program for Cowell Street reconstruction and amending the 2024 capital budget. Introduced by Mayor Prus, this is a second reading and public hearing.
Is there a move to approve? Adopt, rather, approve.
Move to approve.
Is there second. A second?
Second.
Any public testimony on this? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. Discussion. Mr. Marney.
Would this not be the same scenario? There's some older homes in that neighborhood. So would they have the wood stave?
This also is for the second half of the Cowell Street. Yeah. Bob, you want to come up and discuss that?
Evening.
Or the, yeah. What were, yeah.
The sewer system on Cowell's was determined to be in conflict with the project, so that sewer is going to be replaced with the project funds, and the services would be replaced all the way to the right of way, along with the main. The main parallel with the center line, the services perpendicular all the way to the right of way.
Any other questions? Ms. Sprinkle?
Are we going to run into the same situation where the government says this is a lot of money, you're not going to get it, and we have to rethink how this gets pieced out? In a way, for funding?
We'll get to that. You know, if we don't get the funding on this, we're going to have to look at this in a whole different way. Mr. Ringstad.
It occurs to me that we're doing pretty well. He's in asking for the grants. The probability of getting either one of them, much less both of them, are probably not great. But as you come forward with this, my gut tells me we're prioritizing here. And one of these is going to have to go first and get started. I'm assuming that's going to be Island Homes. If their system is failing already, the Cowell Street stuff isn't in quite as urgent an area or condition as. So we need to be focusing on the immediate before they start backing up their whole sewer system and not having water over there.
This has a higher probability of passing since we're doing the Cowell Street from Airport South. That's being funded from construction through fast planning. So this is from First Avenue to Airport Road. So this might have a higher propensity to get funded.
We might get money for this and not the other, but I think the other is our higher priority, correct?
I concur.
Okay. So on the off chance it happens, are we going to be able to do both these programs at the same time? I mean, I'm guessing that this is going to take more than one season.
I would say two seasons,
yeah. On each of these, correct?
Well, when the funding becomes available, it'll be too late in the construction season to really do anything other than maybe preliminary survey, survey. Yeah, so it'd be a two-season job.
On each of the two neighborhoods.
Cowell's could be done faster because, remember, on the north portion of Cowell's from Airport Way to the river, the design of that is really mostly done. It's almost all done except for the power and the communication on the poles. This grant we're asking for designs that aerial power and communication to go underground and also fund the construction of that plus the rest of the project. The design has already been funded and done through fast planning.
So that makes it much easier and quicker for your staff to be able to get to both projects.
For sure for Cowell's, because like I say, it's mostly done.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'd be shorthanded. A little. We'd hire.
Bob, the sewer lines are owned by GHU now?
Correct.
Okay. The only things we're concerned about the city has are the storm drains themselves.
Storm drain.
So if there is a failure in Island Homes, it's Golden Heart Utilities that would be the first party to respond.
Absolutely.
Not the city of Fairbanks.
Yes.
I just want to make that clear so that it's...
Ms. Rogers.
I just wanted to ask, is this the Island Homes project, would it be something that is deemed more favorable when we're talking about providing adequate military housing here? to have that upgrade there? Remember, we were with military housing, we were deemed a place without a lot of proper.
I think I would agree with that.
So yeah. This I would mean, be helpful
it's,
in
it's
that
more
regard?
Of a, I mean, I think there's over 300 homes there, Island Homes.
Mm-hmm. And especially as close to the base and, as it is and so on and so forth. So maybe Senator Sullivan can help us with this.
It has better access now with the development of a third widening and the roundabout at Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
So. Okay. Any further discussion? Clerk, would you please call the roll to adopt motion ordinance 6274?
On the motion to adopt ordinance 6274, Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstead? Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Ms. Rogers?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
The motion to adopt ordinance 6274 passes by a vote of 6-0. Mr. Clerk?
We are at ordinance number 6275 as amended, an ordinance amending the 2024 operating and capital budgets for the first time, introduced by Mayor Prus, second reading and public hearing.
Is there a motion to adopt ordinance number 6276?
6275.
Mr. Marty, second by Mr. Ringstead. Is there anyone in the public who wants to give testimony on ordinance number 6276? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. 6275. Sorry. I have lots of things in front of me here. Anyway, is there anyone in the public wanting to supply testimony on 6275? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. Discussion. Mr. Cleworth.
Thank you, Mayor. My focus is basically on the one item that's being changed in the general account. So on page 2, you'll see it's $110,000 and a footnote that is attached to that footnote number 1, and you find footnote number 1 on page 6. Before I get into that, just a brief history is when we did the budget this year and the mayor gave us a budget for the fire department, there was an item in there for temporary firefighters that was requested by the department. The mayor did not put that in there, and then after deliberation on the part of council, we didn't put it in there either. So there was nothing there, and so it was basically status quo the way it's been done in prior years. But what we did do is in the general account, we created a fund that we used to have years ago, which was for trainees or part-time staff. The idea behind that when I made the pitch was, you know, over the years, I remember I just used the building department as an example when they know somebody was going to be gone an extended lathe and they needed a temp hire in there and they didn't have the money in the account to do that, but we could fund that through the general fund, the account that we had there, which was a good resource. But what's essentially happening here is we're draining most of the fund 2 months into the year at $71,250. We've got, I think, $75,000 in there, if I remember right. And that may be what the council wants to do. But I'm just kind of thinking out loud here for maybe for Mike or somebody. We have two empty positions over there right now. One is the assistant chief or deputy chief. The other one is the new position, the community paramedic position. Could we not fund this, the $71,000 out of those, you know, just use the vacant funds that we have there?
They don't have temporary positions for the fire department is the issue. They did try to get those in there. So this is for the new recruits to fill the positions that they have open, and for one member who is on military leave.
But we can. I think we have the authority that we can go ahead and say to utilize the fund, the savings from those two positions, to go ahead and hire these trainees. I don't see anything legally that would stop us from doing that.
Do course you can.
We would have to adjust, add 3 temporary positions to that department in order to use the savings for that purpose.
Okay. Well, we can do that through a budget amendment.
Yes, you can do it through this budget amendment.
We could do it tonight.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, it's really a call of the council, one way or the other here. But my fear here, also in the department, is we budgeted $900,000 for overtime in this department, which is a staggering amount, yes. But last year we actually spent $1,165,000, which is $265,000 more than what we budgeted this year. And unless there's something that I don't know, and maybe the chief knows, that I can see we're going to be doing a budget amendment again by the end of the year. Do you think I'm out of line in saying that, Margarita?
If you're using the salary savings for these positions, there is a possibility that you may request additional funds for overtime.
So was the game plan hopefully? Was the game plan hopefully to, if we didn't make a change like that, to use those salary savings to switch them to overtime as the year progressed?
Yes, as the year progressed, and you have positions vacant, and because we have the vacancy, we have the overtime, the regular salaries usually cover the cost of that overtime that we had. Take, for example, last year, we were under budget in regular salaries by $300,000. We were over budget in the overtime category. It balanced out.
If we did not do that, if we kept it at $900,000 and said, nah, you have to live within $900,000, would we be most likely in violation of the contract at that point?
If we maintained the $900,000, I would have to defer to the fire chief based on what the numbers we've been working. You could be at that case, but that's usually because of vacancies.
Chief Vaccaro.
Hey, how we doing, everybody?
Very good, Chief.
Good question, Mr. Cleworth. So it's There's a multiple things on the table you're throwing out there, so I'm going to try to address them as much as possible. Okay. So the first thing, yes, last year overtime was 1.1 and some change, and we're all trying to work in the direction to reduce that. I think that's a common theme, no doubt. We budgeted for $900,000. We were hoping that would fit the bill, and I don't think that's probably realistically where we're going to end up at unless things drastically change during the course of the year. As you know, at the beginning of the year, we promoted 3 captains. We've had one of those 3 captain positions vacant since the first of the year, so that's eaten up overtime. We've had people out on long duty, light duty, extensions, and other issues like that. So I'm not feeling real comfortable to say we're going to be under $900,000 unless, like I said, things change. The money we were requesting to get these new firefighters on board is to get them hired as we go through the promotionary process. Therefore, when those positions move up inside of our command structure, those 3 firefighters will be ready to go ahead of time. If we wait for those positions to become vacant, throws off our whole hiring academy cycle. So those monies were in the budget. I went to Ms. Margarita and Mr. Sanders trying to get those funds. Since we didn't get the temporary positions that we asked for in the budget cycle, this was a way for us to get the firefighters hired and online, so that way when the promotions happen in the next few months, everything's seamless, they're trained and ready to hit the line. Therefore, reducing the overtime, hopefully, in that small segment of time the best that we can.
What would be your advice? I mean, right now, I kind of like to keep some money in training for other departments rather than, and what we're doing here is going to be replenishing it with more general fund money. But I was hoping to use the salary savings from the positions that you have empty right now to do that. Knowing that, though, then my guess is later in the year you'll be coming for the overtime to raise that at that time. We can do this a variety of ways. Do you have a preference?
I'm going to let Margarita take a stab at that. I don't know exactly how much salary savings we have to transition from the assistant chief position, the community paramedic position. We're hoping to get funded sooner than later, so I don't know the exact math to today and projecting that forward, so Ms. Bell would probably be the better one to ask that. Okay. My goal is to keep our department staff to help lower the overtime, and I think we've kind of beaten it to death a little bit, is that right now we work at a minimum every day, so any position I have open is bad. So the sooner I can get those firefighters in the academy ready for line will reduce what overtime I can control, and then we got to work through our processes trying to get above that minimum staffing as we move into the future.
Are you for sure losing the three? Is that absolute?
So there will be three promotions, yes. We have to promote up to fill the current captain position and then the driver positions that were vacated by the two captains that moved up in the first of the year. And then we have, like Mr. Sanders said, we have a member going on extended military leave, so we're trying to adjust and adapt for that as well until he comes back.
But would the temporary hire be laid off then at that time when that person?
No, our goal is that these three would stay permanent and fill the firefighter ranks, because everything kind of flows downstream. So as a captain moves up, a driver moves up, and those open up firefighter positions. So those three would fill those promotional spots, and then I'm going to work with Mr. Sanders and Ms. Margarita about seeing what our best option is for the military leave to see how we want to cover that gap in service time. But these three that we're speaking of specifically are for promotions that we know are going to happen over the next couple of months.
Chief, in the future, can you use the temporary firefighter positions to plug in for people who are on extended leave or sick or hurt?
If we were given temporary firefighters in the future, yeah, we could work out a situation where they could be used as a floater and fix some of these staffing issues. I think the real issue is that we come to work with the minimum, and that's what we really have to try to tackle as a group and get over that.
Ms. Sprinkle, then Mr. Ringstead.
And I appreciate, Jerry, that you're asking these questions, but I feel like this is our opportunity to let the chief, who's new to this job, manages personnel. And it sounds to me like it's almost a six of one, half dozen. Do it now, do it later. But I'd like to see how this, he's asked for it. This is what we've been talking about for the second, this is our second read, third read probably. I don't see the benefit of changing it.
Mr. Ringstead.
So I guess I'm looking at this thing, okay, we're saying temporary positions. So what we're doing is giving a position for 3 months through this spring so you can get these three people up to speed and get them on board ahead of time. After that point in time, if we need to do that again, then it has to come back before us and address it at that point in time. Am I reading that right?
So, Mr. Ring said, we were not authorized temporary hires in the budget, unfortunately. Chief Rager asked for that, and it was not passed by the council, which is okay. That's fine. These are not temporary hires. These are early hiring of full-time firefighters. So normally what we would do is wait for these positions to come open throughout the year and then fill them. In an attempt to actually retain people who are interested in working for us now and not 6 months from now who may be gone to other places, our goal was to use these funds to hire the three firefighters, get them through the academy. By then, the promotions will happen, and those firefighter slots will then fall into the budgeted amount that the council's approved for us.
So then, as you were talking earlier, Margarita, about if we move the money, we have to create positions to do that. Put to them?
That is true.
As opposed to just, we're filling a vacant position 3 months earlier than we planned on.
Right, but these are going to be using training funds and not an actual position is my understanding of it. So that's what these funds were set aside for.
We're going to create positions and put money there. So then we are having a position.
If we use the training funds, I know it sounds like the same, you're not increasing his FTE. If
right.
We hire three temporary and not trainees, then you're adding to his full-time equivalent number. And that is a change, a budget amendment. Usually I would do something like that through a memo, getting the council's approval to increase his numbers. his staffing under his department. But you've authorized us to use training funds to bring in individuals temporarily.
Is the, for the training, is this a full 3 months that they, is the routine training?
So they'll be in training for approximately 8 weeks if everything goes according to plan.
Each of them?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie.
So that's EMT and firefighter. They're going to be dual trained?
So our academy is based off of teaching them the Firebanks Fire Department policies and procedures and how we do things. Everyone that we're looking at hiring is already a firefighter one and an EMT. So this is 8 weeks of departmentally specific training so that way they can function with our highly skilled firefighters that are already out there.
Well, I kind of agree with Ms. Sprinkle that, you know, one of our goals is to get you to run your department. And I think this is a start.
Any other discussion? Mr. Cleworth?
I think Crystal had her hand up.
Then Ms. Tidwell.
So just to clarify, you have people that are interested in these positions right now, and if we were able to move this forward, we won't lose them in the mix because we'll be bringing them on right now. In 3 months from now, you'll have positions open for them to flow right into.
That is my plan, yes.
Okay. Great.
Mr. Clayworth.
For Sue, my questioning is where the money is coming from. And what's the appropriate methodology for that? If we use the way it's written right now, then at the end of 3 months' time, that money runs out, I guess, theoretically. And in theory, we have three positions to fill. But if we do not have, then he would be exceeding his FTEs. And that brings him back to the table here again for more money, essentially. And so what I'm trying to figure out is how much money, and the overtime being only 900 has a concern to me is how much money we're going to be pouring in here. I think this is the start of something. But my main concern, I don't like hiring anybody that we would be laying off, you know, training and everything in 3 months and they lay off if they're replacing somebody that's coming back or the position is not there. That's my one concern. And the other one is, does the contract have specific language about temp hires in it? And I don't have the answer to that. I didn't read it for that. Does it have any language like that?
So it doesn't. You're right. So that's why we're waiting on the military leave aspect to try and look at how to best suit a position if we do fill that. For a temporary person to bridge that gap between basic training and him coming back to work. These other three positions are completely separate. These positions are budgeted for. They will be open just because of our testing cycle. It's just a few months off from the January 1 date. We're going to promote the drivers up. The captain will get promoted up shortly after that. And by then, these folks will be out of the academy ready to go. And that's really the goal. So Mr. Clearworth is right. There's a military leave component, but that's the fourth person. We're working on that separately so that way I make sure that, one, we're within the CBA, and, two, that we don't have any weirdness if he comes back and there's a weird position hanging out there. I don't want any strings laying out there for us to run over either. So the three positions are budgeted positions. We're just waiting for those promotions to go through the process, and then we're going to work on the military leave segment separately.
So just one last question from me, and that's from Margarita. Do you prefer this methodology rather than using salary savings that you can use for overtime later on?
The reason why I used the trainee's fund was during the budgeting cycle. That's when the trainee came forth, when they mentioned the temporary hire. So I'm using the conversation during the budgeted meeting that the trainee's budget would be a good source to kind of train while we're waiting for the positions, and this scenario fit within what was discussed during the budget cycle. So that is why I proposed it the way it's proposed through the trainee fund.
So the salary savings, you're going to hope for the overtime to cover that later on?
Yeah, I would use that for to cover overtime.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Ringstead.
So basically what we're doing is overlapping so they can get trained ahead of time. And we're saying $50,000 increasing in training that costs $71,000. I'm assuming most of that's going to personnel. You're paying them be there 3 months ahead of time. Does this include all the cost of the training? I'm not sure what training costs you have as you put somebody through this 8 weeks.
So thankfully, through the council in prior years, we have a full-time training captain. So we don't have any external costs. We don't send them anywhere for the training. There's no academy for them to go through. Our academy is based in the fire department, done by our training captain, who does a great job. And therefore, the only cost you have is the personnel, you know, the 40-hour week cost for each person. So we don't have to send them anywhere. It's neat and clean, and it works really, really well. That training officer comes in very handy, and especially these situations. So that foresight from the council saved the city lots of money in the long term. So I don't think we'll have any issues with that. There's nothing for them to go get other than our specific Fairbanks training.
Any other questions? Seeing none, clerk, please call the roll.
On the motion to adopt.
6275.
On the motion.
Oh, hold it. I'm sorry, Mr. Ringstead.
I thought you were saying any other questions. Goodness.
No,
no, we're done. I'm done with you. But now he's going on to the whole bill here, the whole ordinance. So, I mean, I guess I look at this and think, and we discussed this a little bit in our finance meeting the other day, that 90% of this is just accounting. And really doesn't, there's no real policy decisions to be made in 90% of this. There are, as I have figured out, understand, in this little packet, on the bottom of page 7, we have other expenditures, totaling three of them for $140,000. And then on the top of page 6 is the other expenditures, which we were just addressing one of those. And those are all budget increases and somewhat a policy decision as opposed to they're just strictly doing accounting work. So looking at these, I mean, I don't know that we've got some discussion or statement on the record among the full council that actually explains these things and why we're doing these, what the story is. And it occurred to me maybe we should have something on the record that says what are these things that are sliding through with all the other stuff. It's little money, but, I mean, I'd like something on the record to explain these. What do we got? 2, 5 items?
Which ones would you like to discuss, Mr.
Well,
Ringstead?
On page 6, we've got the Clay Street Cemetery. We had a little discussion. I think Sue missed, was gone that time, but in the discussion of where that piece, adding wellness program, I think is not even a money issue, but I'm not sure of that. On page 7, we've got down at the bottom other expenditures. The heat exchanger, Polaris, we've talked about, I think we talked about that here at the meeting, the street sweeper, and increase in garbage trucks. I mean, to me, these are items that I'm assuming that they just came up because otherwise we would have discussed them in our budget 60 days ago. But we should have some discussion on the record as to why we're doing this now. Buried in a big amendment.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Again, I'm going to ask Margarita, because I know she mentioned that some of these in our finance meeting as being more specific to a estimate that came in early while our budgets were working, but these are more true to numbers. But I'm going to let Margarita talk about that.
That is true, Ms. Sprinkle. Regarding page 7, item 2 and 3 under other expenditures, you authorize the Public Works Department to purchase street sweepers and refuse trucks. And based on the estimate at that time, that's what the budget was set for in September. But now we are in the process of purchasing those items, and the cost did come in higher than anticipated.
At the same time on that, you can look at it offset. We put in, I believe it was $650,000 for a grader, and we came in like $490,000. So sometimes you get a better price than you think, and sometimes you have to pay a little bit more when we finally know what the number is.
Was that this
yes.
year? Oh, that's
yes.
great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was bought at local distributors.
Fantastic.
Okay, items under number one, the $55,000 for the police building heat exchanger replacement, that was an emergency maintenance that we had replacement. We needed to replace that system. And the Polaris building redevelopment assessment, that is the funds that the mayor mentioned at an earlier meeting that we were looking at that area, and we were planning to work with consultants on a redevelopment plan.
Finished and it's working right? I mean, is that already taken care of? So now you're just looking for money to pay for it?
Right. We are right. Once, if the council does not approve it, the expenditures will stay under the mayor's capital contingency.
One day there was an incredible smokestack eruption over at the police department. And it got pretty unique over there.
From my perspective, I mean, that's what we and the public should know why we're doing this, and that's why we're
exactly.
doing it, right?
Exactly.
So we should have it before we're all asked to vote on it. We should have that on the record somewhere.
Mr. Sanders, do you have something to say? Or toss yourself over to
No, not really. I mean, we did talk, you know, it was in the work sessions and finance committee meetings. That's all.
Yeah. This has all been available for discussion through a work session, and this is the second reading.
Hardly anybody in town ever listens to our work sessions. This is the formal meeting when we're going to approve this or not approve it, and the public has a right to know what it is.
Ms. Rogers.
I was just reiterating to John that's a good point, that this is a very proper place to be making those kind of statements that we had at a work session, because the public is being given full information in this venue. So thank you.
Ms. Sprinkle.
I feel like I'm beating a dead horse on the Clay Street Cemetery. I just want to say that I'm a little uncomfortable, only it feels like to me a second bite at an apple that some haven't gotten. And I don't want that to cause trouble. That feels weird to me. I don't understand so much of this being special versus anyone else's being special, but I won't say no to it. I just feel like it feels odd to me. So.
Well, actually, Ms. Sprinkle, it's City of Fairbanks property.
Understood.
So I wouldn't classify this as someone else getting a bite at the apple.
Fair enough.
Mr. Clayworth.
Fair enough, but let me finish then.
Okay.
On that point, then, I don't know why they then have to go through the process of getting a grant at all. That's all. I know. Mm-hmm. I could cause trouble with that.
I understand where you're coming from.
Okay.
Mr. Clayworth, then Ms. Rogers.
Well, if they get the grant, it doesn't come out of the general fund, so they actually save us money, because it's coming out of the discretionary portion that Councilmember Marnie oversees. But what the pitch was is they've got an incredible crew there right now, volunteers that are helping Public Works put this down. And that's if they had 20, if we made this 20,000, they could probably handle that. But they've got a kind of a plan, and I think the mayor alluded to that as the years go by to try and do so many headstones at a time. So, I appreciate your support.
I just want to make that
Ms. Rogers and Mr. Ringstead.
I just want to remind that this process is available to every group that made application for those bed tax funds, that this is not something that's unique or special because they're more closely associated with the city, and that it's not the first time that it regularly has happened. In the past, where organizations have been able to avail themselves of those two processes. So.
Mr. Ringstead.
I guess I look at this and say this, you know, we have an opportunity now, and the choice is, you know, pay me now, pay me later. We know this work has to be done anyway. We've already agreed to that. Over time, we're going to do it. If we can get it done quicker and with this crew, probably cheaper than we get it done otherwise. I think we take the opportunity and say, yeah, let's move forward and get it done quicker and cheaper.
Mr. Ringstead is correct. it's a wonderful opportunity with this labor crew that's there. There really is. And they brought it to us. But yes, Mr. Ringstead.
Would the clerk make sure that he writes down that the mayor said I was correct?
We will highlight that in the minutes of this meeting. And this is over the radio. And we have it on video. Is the news miner here?
No, he's up there. He's on
okay,
the wall.
Okay. Anyway, is there any further discussion on the overall ordinance 6275 discussion? Seeing none, clerk, would you please call the roll on a motion to adopt ordinance 6275?
On the motion to adopt ordinance 6275, Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstead?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Ms. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Cleaworth?
Yes.
Ordinance, the motion to adopt ordinance 6275 passes by a vote of 6-0. Mr. Clerk?
We're at ordinance number 6276, an ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code Section 78-398, authority to impound vehicles, introduced by Mayor Pruse and Council Members Marnie and Sprinkle. This is a second reading and public hearing.
Is there a motion to approve, adopt ordinance 6276? Ms. Sprinkle, and second by Mr. Marnie. Do we have any public testimony on that? Anyone here wishing to give public testimony? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. Discussion. Mr. Cleaworth.
Question for the city attorney then. At the bottom of page one, it says, however, for any offense other than those cited in Alaska statute in the three that they're listed there, I assume one of those is DUI. What are the other two?
It's a DUI, refusal to submit to a test. And then the next one is the insurance. And I believe the last one is 7899
is registration.
Yeah, I think it's registration, if I'm not mistaken, but I'll take a look.
Yeah.
Okay. Just like to say that I like the fact that you're giving people an alternative here that we apparently weren't giving before. Driver may designate the nearest available garage and get somebody to tow the vehicle rather than us automatically using the rotation system through dispatch and calling a tow truck and going to an impound yard, which are not a lot of fun to deal with, especially on a weekend. So it's a good ordinance. I think it helps the people in the community to get into a bad spot sometime we don't run them through the bureaucracy. We give them a choice of what they want to do. So I like that.
Yes, Mr. Attorney.
And just to add to Councilmember Cleworth's comments, that actually follows state regulation and the practice of the state troopers. It mirrors that and carefully follows kind of what they're doing out there. So I appreciate you pointing that out.
Ms. Tidwell, did you have a question?
Yeah, I guess if some of those statutes are registration, insurance, et cetera, if they're allowed to have someone who's licensed to drive, like who would be an individual licensed to drive a vehicle without those if the driver wasn't able to? I guess I'm not understanding that part.
So the, Mr. Mayor, if I
may. Go ahead, please.
So the insurance in the registration, that's correct. It, a lot of times what happens is someone will get a DUI or be suspected of a DUI or there's something else going on. They've lost their license and they're driving without a valid license or something like that. This language gives the officer the authority to have the person call somebody if they're in the immediate area to take the car as opposed to how we're doing it now, which was automatically going to our tow list or our contract tow. But you're correct, the council member Tidwell, that if there's some reason that the vehicle itself couldn't be on the road safely, operating safely, then that wouldn't be an option.
Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion? Seeing none. Clerk, would you please call the roll on the motion to adopt Ordinance 6276?
On the motion to adopt Ordinance 6276, Mr. Ringstead?
Yes.
Ms. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Mr. Cleaworth? Yes. Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
The motion to adopt ordinance 6276 passes by a vote of 6-0. Mr. Clerk?
We are at item 12B under new business. Resolution number 5103, a resolution authorizing the City of Fairbanks to apply for funds from the FY 2025 Congressionally Directed Spending Appropriations, introduced by Mayor Pruse. This is by Mr. Marnie.
Ms. Marnie.
Well, I just want kind of a description of this thing. I think there's one of these ambulance buses.
First.
And the boneyard, right?
Excuse me. Is there a motion to advance?
Move to adopt.
Adopt.
Approve.
Is there a motion to adopt resolution 5103? Mr. Marnie, is there a second? Council discussion.
Well, I'm just wondering, you know, I know there's one of these, I believe a previous version of this, in the boneyard there at Public Works.
You know, I don't know if there is or not, but this was an item that Chief Caccaro brought up to me some time ago. And then I brought it down with me when I went to Washington, D.C. And everything you're talking about, they loved this, wanting to fund this. They really liked this one because we have had a need for a mass casualty bus in the last 6 months with that accident, with the training, with two, if not three, soldiers were killed and 15 transported. And we have approximately 7, if not 8, ambulances in the borough, and that took them all. And so we have the facilities to hold this, the need for it, and we're the central point of the location where we could operate it out of. And so this Senator Murkowski's office, this was that one they just all gravitated to, surprisingly so, in a good way. And they encouraged us to apply for this. So here we are.
Thank you.
And, yeah, this was put together by Chief Caccaro, and it gives the cost of the bus plus the cost of additional items. The mobile ambulance bus is $575. The cardiac monitors are $111,000. The blood pressure machine, $7,500. The IV pumps, $13,900. Transport ventilators, $19,700. Total cost, $727,100, and gave it that, and they looked and said that this works. Ms. Sprinkle.
Since supply chain seems to be an issue with all this apparatus, how long does something like this take to deliver?
Take to what?
Say this gets approved. How long does something like this take to get
delivered? It's a funding source, so we'll find out. I don't know the answer to that question right now, but I'll find out for you. And you apply for it, we'll see if we get it funded. So it's an application process.
Okay, no, I meant the bus. Is it like a 2-year process? You have to order it, and then we wait for it? Do we know?
Probably.
Okay.
It's a bus. You know, all right. How often has the City of Fairbanks gotten a bus? So we're in new territory. We all are. Mr. Cleworth.
Where would this be housed?
Well, we can have it at Public Works. We could look at one of the bays out there at Fire Station Number 3 on Aurora. We can look at Fire Station Number 2 to see where it fits and see how it looks.
Do we absolutely have room?
Public Works would be our best option, but we could make anything work if we get it.
Okay, because I know in Public Works, a lot of the borough equipment is in there as well. And that's something we maybe should look into, is why we're storing borough equipment in that Public Works again. I forget the answer to that, but we should look into it.
Well, you know, I think we should have a storage fee.
Yes.
And when I meet with Borough Mayor Bryce Ward, I'll bring that up and I'll take photos of the equipment that we have.
I mean, it would be a shame to have it outside.
Yes, it would.
And
this
just,
is not a
just deteriorating.
Yeah, exactly. This is not an item with the medical equipment inside. You do not store this outside. Mm-mm. So, is there any other discussion before we take a vote to approve resolution 5103? Seeing none. Clerk, would you please call the roll?
On the motion to approve resolution 5103, Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstead?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Ms. Rogers?
Yes.
Resolution 5103 is approved by a vote of 6-0. Mr. Clark?
We are at item 12C under new business, resolution number 5104, resolution authorizing the City of Fairbanks to apply for and accept Alaska Department of Health funding for a community paramedic vehicle, introduced by Mayor Prus, pulled by Mr. Marnie.
Is there a motion to approve? By Ms. Sprinkle, second. Mr. Ringstead, discussion, council?
It's, I think we were wanting to hear more from you, I think. Is that right?
Well, this is what the, come on up. Yeah, let's let's go right to the source who is requesting the funding.
I want to thank the mayor, the clerk's office, and Mr. Sanders for getting this onto the agenda for tonight. It was kind of an 11th hour request from my end. So over several meetings with Crisis Now and other area groups, I was put into contact with a gentleman who works for the Office of EMS under the Department of Health, who his whole mission is to help raise fund and find ways to get mobile integrated health care across the state of Alaska jump started or continued or to grow, because that's really the future of medicine outside of a hospital and a doctor's office. So mobile integrated health care is the fancy term for a community paramedic program like we're starting here in Fairbanks. We crossed paths in a meeting. We've had several follow-up meetings. He has some state grant funding that needs to go out to a program just like ours, who's starting up, getting our feet wet, if you will. And when we got this program, initially talked to the council several months ago, we had the position concept. We had the idea of how to train and get this rolled out. We didn't really have a good fit for a vehicle. We were going to use some existing vehicles, but they were a little bit old and a lot of bit beat down. So this kind of came at a perfect time for us to get a new vehicle with grant funding to get that community paramedic into a ride that will be serviceable for many years. So it was good timing. That $70,000 will be well spent, and we had to get this approval to go after these funds before the grant actually goes live in the next week or two.
Okay. Mr. Ringstead. Then Ms. Tidwell.
Or has this got a bunch of specialized design and equipment that's got to go into it?
So the good news is we can pull basically any vehicle off of the lot and make it work. So that's the nice part of the flexibility of it. It's a lot like the staff vehicles that the chief officers ride around, and currently you won't see much of a difference other than a different graphic package on it to make it kind of stand out to what that unit's out doing in the public every day.
Ms. Tidwell.
That was my question. I was just wondering what kind of vehicle it was.
Ms. Sprinkle, your light is on.
Nope. Okay.
And Mr. Clearworth.
You said any kind of vehicle off the lot. This is a $70,000 vehicle.
That's right. Obviously, we have to do some graphic work, radios, light bars, stuff like that. So there is some there is some room in that. Trying to keep it consistent with Public Works, I'm shooting for an Explorer, so that way any maintenance that's done, Public Works doesn't have to go out and buy a whole bunch of new stuff for. Okay. So that's where that cost basically comes from, is the vehicle plus upfitting.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Clerk, would you please call the roll to pass Resolution 5104?
On the motion to approve Resolution 5104, Mr. Clearworth?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstead?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Ms. Rogers?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Resolution 5104 passes by a vote of 6-0. Mr. Clerk?
We are at committee reports and council members' comments.
Mr. Clearworth, we'll start with you.
Thank you, Mayor. First, I talked to Bob Pristash a little bit about a work session with council to go over both the TIP, and I gave copies to several of the council members that asked for them and anyone else, but he can provide that also to council, go through the projects that we have, answer any questions that you all might have on them and the scope of these projects and where we stand now with the EPA deciding what we can or cannot do at fast planning. And then also the bicycle path discussion. I got to sit in on a meeting with the mayor and Public Works and Engineering, and they have different points of view on bike paths at times. But I think that the council should listen and hear what's being discussed and see what kind of a scope is going on there. So I would prefer it to be in a morning session where we have more time doing it before the council meetings. You know, we have 50 minutes and, you know, Bob can get through the presentation and leave no times for discussion or something. So I guess I would request a work session at some point when he is ready to, okay, to, and you might have to schedule a different morning meeting rather than the work session that we have. To,
yeah, we're canceling work. One work session on March 18th, I believe it is. 19th, yeah. So, but we have a lot of items coming up that we need to go through. So we'll reschedule the March 19th work session. We'll take a look at this when it's a readily available time in the morning.
Okay. Number two on my list here is we have talked about the need for some hammers as far as doing abatements and things like that, and what rules might need to change. Is the staff working on that now? Because
we started that process this morning. Got back into town. We're going to put together the building department, and I asked Clem if he wanted to be on it, or if he wants to assign his number two there to it. We're going to have the city attorney involved in it. We're going to have the building department in it, the engineer in it, public works in it. And we're also going to be going over to the borough and meeting with planning over there. And today we sent out a new abatement letter to another house in Island Homes. So
okay,
we're doing that. But we're looking at not just abatement. We're looking at problem properties with a lot of trash.
Right.
Now, the city of Fairbanks, we have more teeth potentially than the borough, but we want to work with them and have this have something quite the same. And then who are we going to have as the enforcement officer, the zoning officer? Is it someone in engineering? Is it someone in public works? Is it someone in building? So it's a whole process that we're looking at. And we got back into town and started putting it all together today. And at our next meeting, I should be able to tell you what our schedule is, and I'm going to invite a couple, as always, a couple city council members to be on it. I know that Ms. Sprinkle has a high interest in this, so she will be joining us. And I might just piss off Jerry Cleworth and say, hey, Jerry, come on with us. Let's have a long meeting here and be involved.
Okay. Well, thank you for the update.
You're very welcome. That.
I saw in Yuri's email to the council two house bills. One was HB 142, which is the institution of a state sales tax. The other one was House Bill 156, which is a state income tax. The state of Alaska reserved for itself, as we've talked about, the right for a state income tax. So I don't have any input on that. I mean, that's between the legislature and whoever. The state sales tax, we do. And I can't think of a bigger nightmare of a bill to try to construct, because many municipalities institute sales taxes. We do, but we have specialized ones. We don't do a general. Others do a general, like the city of North Pole. Every community in Alaska has different exemptions, what's taxable, what's not taxable. An absolute nightmare to construct a bill that would try to not impede with the local authorities have already done. Theirs is coming in on top. If theirs differs from the local ones, it's a nightmare for the businesses in that community to be, okay, well, on this item, it's taxable under state law. It's not taxable under municipal law. That can't happen. And we've been on the record, I think, unanimously as a council in opposition to a statewide sales tax. So I just throw that out for other council members. If we need to weigh in with a resolution on HB 142, maybe we could put that on the next work session.
You want a resolution on it?
Yeah, possibly. We could resurrect. I know we have them in the past, but we can resurrect a resolution on that.
And also at our next session with the people on the political side of this that we meet with Yuri, I'll ask him for an update and have him give us a written update. I'd invite you to it, Mr. Clearworth, but that we might be having too many people there and breaking.
That's fine.
Yeah, okay. But you're absolutely right, and we'll have Yuri give us a written report for all of our review. Appreciate that.
And finally, the last thing, you saw the obituary for Barry Donnellan.
A wonderful person.
Barry was a fixture in downtown Fairbanks for years and years. Quite a character. Very nice gentleman. And, you know, sorry to see another old-timer pass away. Thank you.
Ms. Rogers.
Well, I haven't been to too many meetings this past week, but the Fairbanks Diversity Council is really happy to have resolved the not only the quorum problem, but some new members who had once been on the council many years ago came to that special event that we held this past meeting. And the mayor, you were there. You saw the camaraderie that was there instantly.
It was very good.
Yes, it was.
Some very good food.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's some very, very good spirits and conversation. People were not kind of wringing their hands as to what can we do and how is this going to turn around or anything else. Everything
what
was
I like
positive, very positive. It was
what
a great
I liked
meeting.
About it is you're all is a round table. You're all there sitting and just talking. There was no one here. You're all over there having a great discussion. Very good. Ms. Sprinkle.
Okay, a couple things. I attended a soft opening for a new business called Roaming Root down on College Road. They moved from, near Lulu's, so they're in town now, and I think it's a really awesome business that is promoting local produce, local goods, local service. But
they're in the old vet building, aren't they?
In the old Aurora
yeah.
Animal Hospital.
Yeah.
So. It's
great
fabulous.
Location.
They had a great build-out. The Chamber of Commerce was there to celebrate that. But I think our local businesses should be proud when we have something like that.
And they're now in the city limits.
Exactly. That's why I'm talking about it. I just want to celebrate that.
Yep.
I want to thank Mike. He took me on a little foot tour of the soon-to-be daycare downstairs, and you can almost feel it. I'm excited to think that that's moving forward. And I think it's going to be an amazing thing that our employees will get to enjoy. I think it's really an excellent achievement, and I appreciate you pushing that, Mike. I think we should be proud. I had two questions, really, maybe about Officer Elsie. We're still bringing him back, right?
Yes, we are.
When do we bring him into play?
May, middle of May.
Middle of May?
Oh, Chief. Yeah, I'm not his direct supervisor, but I know he's coming back.
Maybe we have somebody?
Chief Doopie, do you want to discuss when Officer Elsie will be back at Golden Heart Park?
Yeah, we've reached out to him, so he obviously still has to say yes, but our plan is to bring him back for the summer. It would be in May sometime based on his availability, but we're still waiting for him to confirm that he is going to come back.
Okay.
I thought he was. I apologize.
All right, no worries. And last but not least, I wanted to find out more about the Portland Loo. Are we ready to get that thing going?
Mr. Chief Staff.
Yes, so we've had a few meetings about it. We actually met. The last one was last Wednesday, and we met with the manufacturer, the owner of the company that makes them. He had a bunch of his engineers around with him. We had Bob and Jeff and Julie Jones from Festival Fairbanks in there, and Christina Rolette, from purchasing, to make sure that we had all of our questions answered. And then we have another meeting, I believe, this Wednesday at 9, if I remember correctly, to kind of finalize everything, and then we will get the purchase. It takes. About 90 days. They said 90 to 120 days to manufacture and get it up here to Fairbanks. But we've already got the location picked out and all of everything ready to go. We just need to get the equipment. And then after that, Bob's team is all over it.
And I understand that Fessel Fairbanks will maintain it during those operational hours. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Great. Okay, good. I'm really thrilled. Thank you. That's me.
Mr. Ringstead. Let the record show. Mr. Ringstead is happy. Mr. Marty.
Well, I'm like my friend here. We've had a great meeting, and I wish everybody a good rest of the winter.
Ms. Tidwell.
I am good also. I guess I did my committee reports out of order.
Okay.
My apologies.
Mr. Clerk.
Just a reminder that we have the Citizens Engagement Academy starting next month, and the application period for that is still open. It closes on February 29th, and that's a pretty neat program. If anyone is not familiar with that, there's a flyer and a page on the website. I encourage anyone interested in learning more about the city to go look into that. I don't have anything else. Does the city attorney have anything?
Just to clarify, on Ordinance 6276, I appreciate the question. So the Alaska Statute 283530 is the DUI. 283532 is refusal to submit to a breathalyzer. 2815291, driving with a suspended operating license. So Councilmember Tidwell, you had asked, and that would be an opportunity for someone, a licensed driver, to come pick up a car. And then Fairbanks General Code 78929. Is driving without insurance. Any of those violations would subject the driver to having their vehicle impounded. So now we have continued authority for part of it and new authority for other parts. So just wanted to clarify that on the record, but I appreciate that question and that conversation.
Okay. Mr. Clerk.
We're at executive session.
Mr. Clearworth.
Mayor, I would move that we go into executive session to discuss two items, Fairbanks Firefighters Union Labor Negotiation Strategy and Roberts et al. Versus City of Fairbanks.
We'll reconvene our executive session. It's 8 o'clock, taking a 13-minute break. Executive session, please.
City Council met in executive session, discussed the two items as mentioned before. No official action taken.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to adjourn? Is there a second? Any objection? We're adjourned. 9:24 p.m., February 20th.
This concludes the podcast of the City of Fairbanks City Council meeting. Please visit us at www.fairbanksalaska.us.